This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Of Jesus Christ, you are on the program called Salt and Light, and yes, we are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And we're going to call this day today, this is Thriving Tuesday, amen, hallelujah, because in the kingdom of God, everybody is advancing, and we have an awesome program today listed, you know, and we have got Evangelist Denver Dreyer with us on this program called Salt and Light. What a phenomenal man of God. I know him for a couple of years right now, and he's doing phenomenal work in the community of Kraaifontein, Scottsdene, where he's at, and we're just going to have such an amazing time today, in Jesus' name. Pastor Delia, don't you want to say hello to our listeners and greet them in that glorious name?
Good afternoon, God. Good afternoon, everyone. It's Hallelujah. Wonderful to be with you once again today, Tuesday, on the program Salt and Light. Hallelujah. So our title of today's segment, it's called The Transformed Man. The Transformed Man. Wow. So please share, like, and share our broadcast. We are live on Facebook right now. You can access our account through Radio K Pulpit. On their Facebook page, you can access the segment and watch it live as well. And then we are also live on the website at the moment. And the website address is www.kpulpit.co.za. I hope I got that right. And yes, we are chatting to Evangelist Denver Dreyer, wonderful man of God that we've been walking with for a good couple of years.
Yes,
a man that truly defines a transformed life, and you're going to hear all about it. But we're first going to play a song, and it's called If I Got Jesus by Ben Fuller. If I Got Jesus, we'll come back and listen to this powerful testimony.
Praise the Lord.
Welcome back. I trust you all enjoyed that wonderful song. So as we said earlier, we've got Evangelist Denver Dreyer in the studio, and he's got an amazing testimony of God's restoration and transformation in his life. Welcome, welcome,
welcome Evangelist.
Good to see you. Good to have you with us this afternoon. We are excited for what God is going to do today. Yes. So just share a little with us. Let's delve into it. Share with us about your the beginning of your past, how you got into drug addiction, and the fact that you actually came out of a Christian home.
Sure.
and fell into this situation.
Good afternoon, Pastor Delia and Pastor Brian, Apostle Brian.
Amen, amen.
It's a privilege to be here this afternoon. I just want to fast track to you know, certain segments of my journey. I think in 1997, the 17th of September.
Sure.
2 years prior to that, I was very much deep into the New Age movement.
Wow.
You know, from everything from taking ecstasy to going to trance parties, taking LSD and all these things, you know. And the void for spirituality increased because I opened up so many doors in my life through experimenting with psychedelics, you know. And one of the avenues that I ventured into was Buddhism, Hare Krishna, and the New Age teachings. And I would read a lot of books, you know.
Yes, yes.
And one day, a friend of mine, Craig, we would sort of like read books and then talk about it, you know, after a couple of weeks or so. And one day we spoke about, I had to meet up with him again to speak about this one a Buddhist book that I was reading. And he said to me, Denver, I had an encounter with Christ, and I'm not going to delve into this type of information anymore.
Mm, mm.
you know. And,
wow.
And I couldn't understand it, you know. He said to me something very, very profound. He said to me, there's only one way to God. And now coming out of the New Age movement, you know, I found that very, I couldn't comprehend that, you know.
All right.
Yeah.
I said, look, if God is so vast, why does he only limit himself to one person? And then he started sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ to me. Yeah.
Amen.
And Pastor Brian, I was so bothered that I just went there and I went back into the forest that weekend, dropped the acid, and I tried to realign the chakras, you know, like the sure. belief was at that time, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I was totally I was totally disturbed, you know, by this truth, you know. And then eventually the interest, I said to him, look, there was a whole group of them that got saved, and they all went to Group Christian Center, and the Group Christian Center had a spiritual growth in Kenneridge.
Okay.
And so Craig said to me, go with, you know. And I said, I thought to myself, I'm going to learn more about the Bible so that when we talk again about spiritual things, then I won't be so offended, you know.
Okay.
So I just went there to get information about the Bible, yeah. And then I sat there, I went with him to like a school premises here in Kenneridge, and there was about 10, 11 people in that classroom, you know. And I remember Pastor Mark was there, you know.
Yeah. So you accepted the Lord and you gave your life and you got involved in church, because I remember you saying that you were in the worship team and so forth.
Yeah.
And then just fast track. So what happened since then?
So basically, I was saved for, I think 10 years, yeah. I was saved for, 9 years. And then I was working for the Cape Argus at the time. And then I went to an event and I accidentally took MDMA, yeah, without me knowing. Yeah, you know, the drink that I took was spiked, you know. And then I just flipped out, you know. And the next thing I know, that curiosity started. And I think it was the 28th of 2006, yeah, where I tried Tuck for the first time, yeah.
Sure.
You know. So you were in church for, you say you were saved for 9 years.
Yeah.
And somebody spiked your drink and you were at an event.
Yeah.
And that totally opened up that door once again. Wow. Sure.
Look, it was a gradual shifting, you know.
Correct.
But I felt like something lifted from my life and something was imparted to me, you know.
Sure.
And then the curiosity just started increasing, yeah.
Okay.
And the next thing I know, you know, I was on the dance floor at this event smoking weed. And I mean, at that time for 9 years, I was celibate. I didn't smoke. I didn't drink. I was in the worship team. I was, you know, doing all kinds of things, you know, because my life obviously has been transformed, yeah.
Correct.
So in 2006, I became backslidden, yeah.
Okay.
And then this journey started now, where I went into a 10-year addiction, yeah.
Sure. Okay.
Sure.
You know.
Praise God.
So like I said, you know, there's many different segments to my life, you know. So yeah, I'm just going to wait for for the questions
then,
to come, yeah.
With those 10 years, how deep did it go? How deep did you fall? What was the transition from worshiping God, serving the Lord, and then take us on that journey?
The 28th of December when I had tuck for the first time, I was high for 5 days.
Sure.
You know. And the shift was so rapid, that I went from where I was to, you know, entering into a stage 4 addiction,
Sure.
Usually there's four stages before you get to addiction,
Can you share with us those four stages?
So the first stage is experimentation, okay? That's when you're just experimenting.
Right.
Then you get into frequent use, which is stage 2.
Mm.
And then stage 3 is problematic use. That's where you don't show up for work. You have run-ins with the law and, you know, you start disappointing family members. So I've been through all of that stages.
Mm-mm-mm.
And then eventually stage 4 is psychological dependency.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah.
So my 10 years in addiction, it was terrible, yeah, because I came into this building here, Pastor Brian, and I didn't want to tell you this, but I found myself here in Belleville on the streets, yeah.
Sure.
And when things were too hectic in Belleville, yeah, you know, obviously it de-escalated to where I was roaming around in Belleville by the taxi rank and, you know, looking for food and, you know, I mean, from 2011 to 2016, I had 34 court cases. I was in prison for 34 times, you know.
Yeah.
Sure.
And that's extreme levels, you know, that you go into, you know.
And that's obviously mostly theft.
Petty theft because you're not working anymore. Nobody wants to hire you. You know, the drugs breaks you down, yeah. You know,
yeah,
it takes everything away from you, you know. So, and you break the bond of a family, man, you know. So the Bible says that...
And also
that,
the trust, evangelist.
Of like course,
the trust,
of course.
The bond with the trust that goes together.
Let me tell you something. The devil comes to rob, to steal, and to destroy.
Come on, sir. Come on.
He's got a strategy to get you into areas of destruction, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes he dangles a little thing in front of you, a carrot.
Yeah, and then
he draws you in.
Mm.
The deception draws you in.
Mm.
You know? So for me, I didn't just start like where I was totally messed up, you know, walking besides my shoes in Belleville.
Yeah, yeah.
I had to regress over a period of time.
It was a gradual process.
But the thing that got me there very, very quickly was when I transitioned from the tuck to the heroin. Yeah.
Wow. Sure.
The heroin was I think, maybe 100 times more
destructive
than the tuck, yeah.
I just want to say, evangelist, like people is watching us by Facebook Live, and you know what, just you being here, you know, just
and
in
sharing
our presence
your story.
And sharing this.
Yeah.
But it's not even a story, it's the reality, the truth of what many, many mothers are facing, and you know,
families are,
but you know what, as I'm sitting here, I just sense the presence of God, you know, as you were sharing your testimony. And I want to encourage a mother. I want to encourage somebody. There is hope.
Yeah. Mm.
Jesus is the way, the truth. As much as the devil comes to rob, kill, and destroy, like you rightfully said, evangelist, you know, Jesus also said in his word, I've come to give you life and to give you the abundant life, you know. And if God can do it for you, I've got no doubt in my heart, in my mind, that God can do it for somebody else.
Yeah.
And so, evangelists, we are so touched and moved, you know. But yes, I don't want to, whatever you want to share, evangelists, share.
Yeah.
We're going to go to a song break quickly.
Thank you.
And it's called This Is Who I Am Without You. And it's sung by The Shelter featuring Arnold DeWitt. We're going to come back, beloved. There's still so much more to this testimony.
Praise the Lord.
Especially with Denver, then going on to heroin. So please stay tuned. Stay tuned, especially for those that are in a situation like this, your son, your daughter, because God is going to release nuggets of wisdom, I believe, this afternoon.
And please, ladies and gentlemen, help us to share this broadcast. It can make, the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing.
It
could maybe help someone. It could help a family member if somebody's tuning. So please, let us all be evangelists today and let us share this broadcast, because we believe in the power of God.
Amen.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Apostle Brian here once again. We are so blessed and honored to have evangelist Dreyer, Denver Dreyer, with us. And we were talking about addiction and, you know, how what God has done, you know, in his life and through his life. And, you know, we just want to hear some more of you know, so Denver, tell us, if you would.
Yes, sir.
Tell us, you know, you said from tick, and then you went on to heroin, you know. So can you maybe just talk to us a little bit about, you know, what is the signs, what is... You know, what is happening? What was the transition like? And, you know, from tick to heroin, because, you know, there's many people that believe that, when their son or their daughter is addicted to heroin, it's over.
Hmm.
It's over. And I mean, like, you know, you shared a little bit on, you were there in Belleville, you were on the streets, and it looked over. You know, it looked like, okay, Denver, you're a goner. You know, so talk to us about that quickly, Denver.
Pastor Brian, the heroin addiction, it's a very aggressive form of addiction, yeah.
Okay.
The desperation, you know. was very, very intense, yeah. And you know, because of time, I just want to sort of like, I don't want to go into too much detail. But, you know, a guy that never, ever was, had a run-in with the law, you know. Just try to imagine going to prison 31 times.
Sure.
From that short period of 2011 to 2016, just to give you an idea how intense things became. Yeah,
yeah.
I wanted to tell you that I slept outside of this building here at the Bible Society. Many, many nights.
Wow.
I was walking the streets of this place where we are in now, 2-3 in the morning. Yeah.
Sure.
Breaking in, doing all kinds of stuff. Yeah. You know. And that is the same person. You know, I always tell people, if you read the Bible, you know, the Bible says in the book of Acts 9 that Saul was breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's anointed here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there's something that I got in there, is that there is an anointing locked up in this generation, and there are people who are dying before their time. Before stepping into that purpose. Yeah.
Wow, Denver.
So true. So true.
So the enemy used a man, Saul, in the book of Acts.
Yeah.
To breed out murderous threats against the Lord's anointed.
Sure.
So there is an assignment to prevent this generation from rising up in the anointing. Yeah.
Yeah, Denver.
And so I've seen it with my own eyes. I've seen it with my own eyes, yeah.
Sure. So that's what I'm saying, you know, when you get to this drug, you know, that takes away, it's like, it's almost like it takes away your self-worth, your everything, you know, and it looks like, you know, you were a goner, you know, but praise be to God, you know, Evangelist, when you came in today, the word that I got in my heart, in my spirit, you know, that it says here in the book of Revelation chapter 12, you know, that, sorry, not Revelation chapter 12, it's Revelation chapter 21. It says here that the spirit of prophecy, Jesus is the spirit of
1910.
Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I felt that in my heart, you know, that whatever the enemy meant for evil in this generation, there is still a God.
Yeah.
There is still hope. There is still, you know, Jesus is still the way, the truth, and the life. And I thank God for, you know, organizations and, you know, where, you know, rehabilitation centers, and that is great and powerful, praise God, you know. But, you know, once the power of God, the moment the power of God, because the soul that you are talking about that spread this murderous, that this threats, you know, once the power of God hit him,
yeah.
Amen. His life was transformed. And I see that transformation. There was a time, Evangelist, when you were in hospital. And can you tell us about that? You know, people, I saw people were praying there in hospital, and everybody with the church was there. Praise God.
Let me tell you something, and to our beautiful, wonderful listeners, wherever you're listening from. So in 2019, you know, I was, obviously prior to that, I was ministering in the schools. I was ministering everywhere, you know.
Hallelujah.
God just opened up doors, you know.
Amen.
And then in 2019, I was diagnosed with kidney failure.
Sure.
End-stage kidney failure. I just lost 80% of my kidney function over a few months, yeah.
And that is because of the heroin?
No. It wasn't because of the drug use. I picked up a very rare illness, and when I went to Tigerberg Hospital at the time, they actually wrote in the medical journals about, you know, how they were treating this, because they didn't see this disease in 50 years.
Wow.
But I just saw it as an attack of the enemy, no matter how they wanted to interpret it, yeah.
Yes, sir.
And I was in the hospital, Pastor Brian, Pastor Delia, for 4.5 months, yeah.
Sure.
And 3.5 months of that 4.5 months, I was in the ICU. I was on life support. I had open heart surgery. I was paralyzed on the right side of my body. And the nurses had to do everything for me for that 3.5 months in the ICU. You can see here, I've got a hole here. I had a tracheostomy. And I had a pipe feeding me directly into my stomach. Where I didn't eat anything for 3.5 months. The food was directly put into my stomach. And you know what? my wife, ek wil net vir die months, I just want to give the men, I want to give the men a word of advice today.
Come on,
men,
sir.
If you can listen to me now.
Come on, sir. Come on.
And you're, whether you have a believing, just what I want to say to the men today, don't have passwords on your phones. And if you do have a password, let your wife know what that password
Amen.
Is.
Amen. Amen.
You know,
honey, my password is 007.
Come on. Come on.
26.
Yes.
00726.
Thank you, Jesus. And let me tell you something. When I was in a medically induced coma, I couldn't talk. I couldn't. The doctors came to my wife. I told you guys, I've got a vast testimony here. But the doctors came to my wife and said to my wife, Mrs. Dreyer, your husband has got a few hours to live.
Mm.
Not days, Pastor Brian, a few hours to live. And this is documented. We've got proof of this thing.
Shock.
I'm not just saying these things for the sake of content in the name of Jesus. But the doctors came to her and said, you've got a few hours to live. Your husband. And you know what? My wife was married before, and she lost the first husband to cancer 13 years ago.
Sure.
And then she broke down in the hospital, Pastor Brian, and she said, Lord, not again. Sure. I cannot go through this again. And you know what she did? She went down on her knees, and she called out to Jesus.
Amen, amen.
She called out to Jesus.
Amen, amen, brother.
And then she took my phone, and she saw all the prayer networks that this man is connected to. This man sitting here. He didn't take her voice. To the Jerema, it addiction, it gali. I started building capacity in the Jesus realm of the Spirit.
Amen.
And she saw, and then she sent the message out. Mm. That Wednesday night, Pastor Brian, that faithful Wednesday night, about 70 intercessors.
Mighty God, hallelujah. We thank God, we thank God.
Came to the ICU. At Tigerberg Hospital.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
To pray. In hallelujah.
They, if it be thy will, praise and pray.
No.
It was disrupted.
Hallelujah.
Come on. And they started praying in the spirit that the doctors, the staff, at about 7, 8 o'clock the night came out. And I had for Pastor Brian the video see what gebeur het aan.
I just want to give a shout out to Tracy Dreyer.
Come on,
mighty
hallelujah.
Woman of God.
Jesus.
Who celebrated her 50th birthday yesterday.
Hallelujah, glory.
May the Lord bless you, Jesus woman name. Of God. Jesus we can name. Truly Yo. Say that you are a wife that stands in the gap and contends for your family here today. Wow. The man of God is
Come
sitting
on.
Because
Come
of your faith. And
Jesus.
Because of depending on the Lord God to cause a turnaround. So thank you, Tracy. May the Lord bless you.
Thank you, Tracy.
Hallelujah.
And they say say evangelists, like what I want to say on that, when the doctor diagnosed you with that rare, I want to say to every listener today that, you know what, sickness is not a condition. It is a spirit.
Sure.
Amen. A spirit of sickness. The Bible calls it a spirit of infirmity.
Yeah.
And through the name and the blood and the power and the presence of Jesus, we are able to stand. We don't disregard the doctors. But hey, look what Dr. Jesus has Denver.
Pastor Brian, Jesus. ek het 40 ot geweeg wat ek in die bed you know, I was so thin with bed sores and all these things. And a nurse came into my room a month prior to me leaving because hulle het vir my op klompie drips gesit. They didn't know which direction, yeah. Toe op die chart, I had a folder that was 600 pages long, right? Toe ek na 3 dae, toe ek uit die I came out of that, you know.
Yes.
And then a nurse came in there. And because I was sort of like on medications, I pulled the drips out and all these things. I went through a lot of turmoil, you know. And one day, one of the nurses came to me. She says, Mr. Dre, you must be nice because some of these nurses are angels in disguise.
Sure.
She just said that to me. And then a nurse came in there. And a month prior to me leaving, she wrote on the chart there, the 28th of July, 2019. She wrote there, with a smiley face,
Hallelujah. Thank
and
you for
every time a doctor would come in there to do an assessment, they would see this date. And they would ask me, what is this date? So I said, no, I'm leaving on that date.
Amen.
And guess what, Pastor D? When did Denver Dreyer leave the hospital?
The 20
in a wheelchair?
Wow.
On the 28th of July.
Look at God.
2019.
Amen.
The spirit of prophecy.
Amen. Yeah.
And let me tell you something. God will always raise up an intercessor to stand in the gap on your behalf.
Amen.
For me, it was my mother, during the time when I was struggling with addiction. And then it was Tracy that called the intercessors to pray. And now there's many people.
Amen. A shout out to
Jesus.
Denver's mother,
yes.
Auntie Gloria.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for mothers. You know, Denver.
We have to go to a song, unfortunately, yes. Guys.
We'll come back with that testimony. We'll come back with that testimony.
The mom testimony.
We're going to listen to One Girl Nation, yeah. And the song Jesus. Is called Vertical. We'll be right back. Welcome back, beloved. Welcome back. So we've been talking to Denver. Such an amazing testimony of God's grace. From what you've told us thus far, Denver, it really looks like the enemy does not. He wants to do everything in his power to destroy your life. And that means that truly symbolizes that God has got great things in store for you, that he truly wants to use you. And the enemy is intimidated. He fears what God is going to do in you and through you.
Hallelujah.
So just share with us quickly, evangelist, what was it like for your family to see this down, what's the word, spiraling downwards of your life? And then also share with us what God did to brought you to this place and the journey of restoration.
Evangelist, can I just say something for 1 minute and then we'll give over to you? I really believe in the power of a praying mother.
Yeah.
The reason why I'm saying this, evangelist, and I want to say to the listener, when I was, my mother was unsaved, Denver. Mm-hmm. Unsaved. She didn't know the Lord, but she know how to pray. She know how to call upon a God that she don't even serve. And that God was so faithful by hearing her prayers. The day when I stood in front of a judge, I was about to be sentenced for 5 counts of attempted murder. And my mother was praying for me. Little did I know. You know, and that day, evangelist, I heard those words, not guilty. You know, and I felt that in the spirit, you know, that an earthly judge, you know, that says, proclaimed not guilty, but the heavenly judge, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, while I was standing in that courtroom, and yes, I was guilty, and yes, I knew exactly what I was doing, although I was, you know, under the influence of alcohol, but there was a praying mother, and my God, Denver, I believe in that. But you were saying, Pastor Dilly was saying, yes, sir.
This is very profound, Pastor Brian, because one of our members with the prayer walks, you know, and we're going to speak about this later on, it's actually got 2 cases at the High Court, and, sure. And the judgment will be on the 24th here. And just when you said that, I believe, you know, for intervention for that person, yeah.
Jesus'
name. You know, so if that person is listening now, I'm not going to mention the name.
Amen.
We just want to release that prophetic word right now. Jesus, you know.
Jesus. Father, your word declares in the book of Job, God has the power to pronounce the guilty innocent, Father.
Yes.
And so, Father, we pray your will and your purpose, Father, we speak freedom, deliverance, my God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank
Amen.
You.
Yes, then, but let us
Pastor
start.
Pastor Brian, I just wanna very quickly about the family. My mother didn't sit still, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the people gave up on me, yeah, but she pursued me in my addiction. And I believe that was the display of the love of the Bible says in the book of Romans 5:8. That God demonstrates his love for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Yeah.
But
Hallelujah.
I think also, you know, she didn't tolerate your addiction because you were put out. We speak to a lot of mothers that are struggling with that, you know, releasing their children and letting God.
Our house became a safe space, yeah. Because whenever I would come from the streets, my mother would say, bring it, you don't bring that nonsense into the house. Mm. I was not allowed to smoke in the house. I was not, because that house became a safe space here.
Okay.
The only thing that I found in that house when I came from the streets, you know, after 4 days of being awake, you know, mm-hmm. being on the streets, doing all kinds of stuff, and then coming home to come and sleep for one day, there was always a plate of food.
Okay.
And while I was sleeping, Pastor D, toe het my ma sommer geconnect aan 'n prayer group, vrouens wat gebid het daar in die area. And then they would come into my room and anoint that dirty feet of mine. You know, when you're a drug addict, you don't have any more hygiene, you know?
Yeah.
And you're living on the streets practically. Then through that dirtiness, you know, because now it's time to go wash. I don't have time to go and bath or whatever. I just want to go sleep now because I've been awake for 4 days.
Sure.
Then that people would come in and she would speak life over me.
Thank you, Father.
The other thing that my mother came
Thank
to
you, Lord
do.
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
And this happened here in Belleville. I had a taxi rank, Pastor Brian. She came to look for me by the drug houses.
Yeah.
She's not so klein. She's so small. But she came to look for me. Some supernatural God gave her boldness here. And whenever she stepped into that place, the people respected her because she walked in the presence of God.
Hallelujah.
Amen?
Awesome.
And the other thing that was a turnaround as well, because this is a very deep psychological shift that happens. And there's a lot of manipulation with the drug addicts here. You know, and you need to get equipped. Listener, you need to get equipped to deal with that child of yours that is running around, you know, you don't know whether to be a tough love or whatever, you know. But my mom, her method, her ideology was, you can show tough love, but make sure you measure it with a lot of love.
Okay.
You know?
So she needed to learn how to deal with her son that was in addiction for 2 years. My mother went to the support group at the Akendal in the area where we stay. And she connected to that support group for two years. And that time I was still on the street, Pastor Brian. And in that 2 years, my mom became equipped.
Okay.
And the information that was given to her was, Jasimia, a tukopi. You're not a drug addict. You're not a useless thing. She started learning, putting things in place. And she was the one that contacted the social workers at Badisa. Because I was on heroin, she was the one, through the social workers, that filled out the paperwork for me to go into Stikland for 7 days for the detoxing from the heroin. And she was the one that got me into the two rehabs that I went to. Because at first I didn't get it right. I was clean for 1 year, 7 years, and then I went to my second rehab here.
Okay.
Okay, all and right. I've been clean since 2016. That's why I said the recovery period started for me in 2014 when I went to Esketh King, you know?
Sure.
And it was difficult
because
I still had the street mentality.
You
know?
Yeah,
whenever
yeah, yeah.
the social worker showed up at my house, I was on the streets on my own. And then later on, I realized you can't get clean on an addict's, how can I say, on his terms.
Yeah.
That cycle needs to be broken.
Yeah.
And for those people that have young daughters or sons, get equipped with knowledge.
Yeah.
There's a thing called the Section 31 that where you can bring somebody by force into the rehabilitation centers.
Section
31, go and look up look this up here and get equipped with the knowledge of what you can do. And if you are in an area, whether it's Mitchell's Plain or wherever, if that child is under a certain period of time, get the social workers involved.
Amen.
Get the social workers involved. There's no way. Yesterday, I had a call from some of the lady, you know, that we've been walking a journey with, you know. The daughter was 15 years old, and she ran away from home. They found her many, many months later in Joe Slova, living in a car on somebody's yard. Supposed to be in school. You know, and then we sort of like got her to go to another place in Pietermaritzburg or wherever, and now that same cycle is being lived out there, you know.
But you said something very profound, Evangelist. You said this drug is very progressive, you know. And so we need to get militant, you know, as much as the drugs is progressive, we need to equip ourselves, get active. So I want to also ask you, Evangelist, you know, information, because like we are pastors in an area called Brooklyn, and there's also drugs and, you know, and Yes, we know the spiritual part of things and the praying part of things, but also we need some knowledge and wisdom, you know, that coupled
like
together.
Like the section.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we don't know
these
things.
We've never heard about. Because
and you know about it, you know, and then please equip us also in those, you know, send us some information or, you know, that can help us also, because our parents in our community in Brooklyn, they're also struggling a lot with drugs and similar to, you know, that environment. And this is the thing.
Or maybe we must think of starting a support group.
And we will help you with that. Yeah, I've got a team of people at the Akendal support group that will come out and we do an event just for people that have loved ones in addiction. And then from there, we open up a support group. I've been part of the support group now since 2014. Yeah, and I still am there most Wednesdays. You know,
okay.
Very, very powerful tool. You know, to have is the support groups. Yeah, but let me just release this to you very, very quickly. Yeah, and I'm going to do this from a spiritual perspective, because the scientists have come into agreement that addiction is a spiritual sickness. Yeah,
sure. Yeah.
So you need a spiritual solution
for a spiritual
problem.
Mm-hmm.
So Hebrews 4:12, it says that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It cuts,
through
it separates,
bone and,
taking you to the deepest part of a man's nature, of a person's nature, according to the Amplified Bible. So that word sharper is a clinical term. It's a clinical knife that the doctors use to do precision surgery.
Sure.
My solution is to come under the anointing and allow God to train you up in the realm of the Spirit to rightly divide the word of truth, so that you can, when you enter into that area of ministry, you're like a precision surgeon that does a highly skilled surgery on that person that is bound by that addiction.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
And this is what I want to release upon the ministers of the gospel out there. Go into your quiet place. Go into the secret place. Get in tune with the Holy Spirit and allow Him to rightly divide the word of God through you. When you minister to that person that is in addiction, that person that is in prostitution, that person that doesn't know purpose in Christ.
Amen.
Jesus' name.
Amen.
What did Jesus say in the book of, last thing, Jesus in Matthew 4:4? He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth.
Hallelujah.
The proceeding word.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We just quickly have to go to a song once again, and it's Brandon Heath saying, No Turning Back. Hallelujah. No Turning Back.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. We unfortunately have to come to the end of this broadcast.
I can't believe the time.
I can't, don't believe it.
Honestly.
But we're going to trust God, because we just spoke to evangelists and we felt in our heart that, you know, next week, Tuesday, this time, the same time, we're going to be...
We definitely
we're gonna
need
have him here
to
and
come back.
We're going to talk about his transformation, what God has done. Amen, hallelujah. And we're going to talk about the prayer walks. Amen, hallelujah, that they are busy doing. And we also want to learn from that, evangelist. But evangelist, with no further ado, I would just really like you to pray. We've got about 2 minutes, almost 2 minutes, just to pray. Maybe there's that mother that is trusting God.
One minute.
So, evangelist.
Thank you. So we'll hopefully be next week here again. Father, in the name of Jesus, there are somebody that is tired on the verge of giving up right now under the sound of my voice. I pray, Father God, that strength and wisdom will be imparted, Father God.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
And that you would bring a spirit of wisdom and a revelation to that person, Father, that will ignite their spirit to rise up, Father God, and begin to release the word of the Lord into the atmosphere, Father God.
Jesus' name.
My prayer right now is, let your kingdom come and awake your people, Father God.
Jesus,
we pray for spiritual transformation, Father God, to come to
Jesus.
Every single person listening to this broadcast right now, and we thank you for this in Jesus' name.
Jesus'
amen.
Name.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye,
it
everybody.
Was good to be with you. We will have Denver Dreyer back next week again. So thank you so much for tuning in. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.
God bless you, and thank you so very much for tuning in. May you have a wonderful day.
Amen.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.